And now maths, how you can use maths to run industry, understand the universe and save jaguars in the Amazon. First industry, and another Frenchman, Grégoire Lepore, is Professor of Maths at Monash in Melbourne, and his work goes back to the year 1781.
So 1781, a man called Gaspard Monge wrote a book called Mémoire sur la théorie des déblais et des remblais. It's a problem of engineering. So Monge was very talented. He had been appointed as a professor when he was 22 years old only. And later on, he's been one of the founders of the École Polytechnique, which is a very famous French engineering school. So he was working on the problem of engineering. So basically, the problem is that you have a distribution of matter, amounts of matter located at different places, and you got a distribution of holes. And you want to displace all the matter to the holes, to fill all the holes, and it's quite costly to transport the matter, so you want to do that in the most effective way, somehow. And that gives rise to a very interesting mathematical problem. So Monge was the first one to formalize it, but he didn't quite succeed in solving it. And so it's been only many years later, during the Second World War, that a Russian mathematician called Kantorovich was more working in economics, for other reasons, tried to solve the same problem. It was for problem of optimal allocation. So you replace matter by factories producing goods and holes by consumer buying goods. And you get the same problem, you know. And Kantorovich succeeded in solving the problem. In the meantime, he invented a very powerful tools of mathematics called linear programming that are used in many, many applications of mathematics. So that was during the Second World War. So he was working in the Soviet Union. All his works were kept secret. And it was only 25 years later when they were revealed public that he got the Nobel Prize in economics for that discovery.
Oh, in economics?
In economics, yeah.
Not the field prize?
No, it was a Nobel Prize in economics.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you have followed in his footsteps?
I'm working in the same field. That's all I can say.
But no Nobel Prize yet?
No, not so far.
But you're applying this linear work to all sorts of things like industry and even finance.
Yes, so this field of optimal transportation is never, you know, we never stop discovering new applications of that. So after the work of Kantorovich, much more recently, like in the 1980s, people discovered applications of optimal transport to hydrodynamics, to meteorology. So there was a model called the semi-geostrophic equation, which is used for modeling, you know, atmospheric flows, which uses optimal transportation. There are a very nice application in cosmology, where we use optimal transportation to reconstruct the past history of distribution of matter and speed in the universe back to the Big Bang, because we can somehow assume that the way the matter has been transporting from the Big Bang days to nowadays is some kind of optimal transport. And if we assume that, we are able to reconstruct all the trajectory. So we can go backward in time and look what was the speed of the galaxies billions of years ago. And there have been actually quite a lot of applications in pure mathematics. And it happens quite often that problems, very applied problems, very practical problems. So nowadays, people are starting to discover that it has also applications in finance. So that can seem a bit strange to see, but people who are selling options and derivatives, which are complex products, and some of the products cannot be just the sum of simple bricks. They are more complicated than that. So you want to find the more robust way, the less risky way to construct the complicated product with simple bricks or to approximate it. And actually, there is a dual formulation of that, which is, what is the worst-case scenario that can happen to the market, meaning how the distribution of the probability distribution of financial assets, how does it evolve with time in the worst possible way for me? So that would really make me lose the most money possible. And if you can characterize that, this is actually an optimal transportation problem. And that gives you, going back to the primal view of things, the optimal hedging strategy to cover your financial product.
So you can advise the hedge fund industry on how to invest their money and how to avoid disaster.
So hedge funds are actually speculating, meaning they're taking bets. This technology applies more to banks that are selling derivatives. So the goal of a bank is to be hedged, meaning that it's totally insensitive to the fact that the market goes up or down. It's not taking a directional position on the market. It's not investing someone else's money.
And is this being applied now by the people who are working in the finance industry?
It's on the way of starting being applied, but it's a very new discovery. And I think given the context of more and more regulation around banks, you know, where the regulator is asking banks to take more and more precautions to cover their positions, this could be something with a bright future.
How many people working in that sort of industry know their maths in a way that would make their life more productive and efficient?
Yes, a lot, a lot. The level of people working in this industry is quite high. You find many people with PhDs, most of them with master's degrees in quantitative fields, either physics or mathematics or computer science. So in this area of the industry, yeah, you meet surprisingly a lot of very educated people.
Maths is everywhere.
Exactly. And it's very light.
Professor Grégoire Lepore at Monash University doing astrophysics and finance and showing that maths goes everywhere.